Hello, welcome to another edition of ID the Future. I'm Todd Butterfield. We have a special guest today. It's Dr. Richard Weikert, professor of history at California State University, Stanislaus, and a senior fellow for the Center for Science and Culture of the Discovery Institute. Author of multiple books, Dr. Weikert's most recent book, Hitler's Religion, The Twisted Beliefs That Drove the Third Reich. In this book, the reader is clearly informed about the historical facts of what Hitler really believed. It's one of the most extensive treatments on this topic to date in the English language. As often as Hitler is a focus of conversation and commentary today, you and I ought to know the truth so we can speak and think accurately. Welcome to the show, Dr. Weikert.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We might ask about Hitler's ethics. Surely he had ethics in some form, however contrary that may be to our own. Let's explore Hitler's evolutionary ethics. How would one describe Hitler's ethics?
Yeah, of course, a lot of people really wonder if he had any kind of ethics. People think, oh, he was just power hungry, you know, out to just dominate and exercise power. But in reality, I've shown in my earlier book, as well as in Hitler's Religion also, that Hitler did actually believe that what he was doing was moral. And the way he justified this was by embracing a kind of evolutionary ethics that believed that whatever helps evolution along, that it was drives biological organisms to higher levels and brings about evolutionary progress thereby, that that is moral, that is good. And whatever hinders biological development, or maybe to put it a different way, that whatever brings about biological degeneration is thus immoral. And so using some corollaries of Hitler's about superior and inferior individuals, superior and inferior races, this allowed him to justify some of the worst atrocities in all of human history by thinking that he was doing something good by helping along evolutionary processes.
But how would he be able to look at any particular race and say that that is showing a decrease in biological development? How did he reach that conclusion?
Well, actually, part of this is because in Europe, it was pretty much commonplace that Europeans thought of themselves as superior. And in the late 19th century, many Europeans construed that to mean biologically superior, that it wasn't just a matter of, you know, we have better culture, but that we have better mental faculties. And also because a lot of people were in the late 19th and early 20th century becoming biologically deterministic, that is, they thought that behavior was determined by our biological nature, they also thought that moral characteristics were inherent biologically. And so the notion was that some individuals and also some races had certain kinds of characteristics that made them superior to others. And again, this is a pretty common view among biologists, anthropologists, sociologists. I mean, if you go back to Charles Darwin himself, Darwin does argue that Europeans are at a higher level, and he thinks that evolution has sort of brought that about. And if you think about it, evolution does imply variation. And so Darwin, in thinking about human evolution, thought that that variation meant that there were some human races that had greater mental capacities and even greater moral capacities than others that made them superior. So Hitler was basically buying into a very commonly held view of European superiority and thinking about that in a biological kind of way.
I'm going to go off on a side tangent for just a second. To what do you attribute the view in Europe that they see themselves as higher than others?
Well, I think part of it was simply looking at the civilization and culture that was created in Europe in distinction to, say, Africa or Australia or North America. And I think because they had characteristics that they considered superior, the buildings they created, the written language, and lots of other things, they saw themselves as superior. Now, interestingly, in the 19th century, there were a lot of people who thought that was because of environmental things, that it's simply a matter of education and such. But by the late 19th century, there were a lot of people who were interpreting this in biological terms, and certainly Hitler was going to interpret it in a biological kind of way. I mean, part of it's probably just European pride in their own achievements and thinking of themselves as better than the Africans. But part of it also, I think, is part of ignorance. I mean, Francis Galton, who was Charles Darwin's cousin who founded the eugenics movement, actually did a trip to Africa early in his life as a young man. And while he was there, he couldn't even understand the Africans and their languages or anything, but he certainly thought that he was biologically superior to them.
Do you find people extrapolating to today and calling, let's say, modern leaders of the West white supremacists? They make that statement probably for political reasons, but do you see a validity in that connection, or is this just people using it for their own purposes?
Well, there actually are, in thinking about the situation today, there are a lot of white supremacists today who are, in fact, very secular in their orientation, and Darwinism becomes a part of that. And in looking to Hitler and this ideology, they certainly see it this way. In fact, it's interesting you mention this because I actually received an email after my book Hitler's Religion came out from a leader of a small neo-Nazi organization who told me that he thought that my interpretation with Hitler was essentially accurate, though he said he didn't appreciate my negativity toward Hitler. So in looking at other people in the alt-right, I wrote an article on the religion of the alt-right a little while ago, and quite a number of people in the alt-right also are very secular in their orientation and love Darwin. And what they see as the difference in races, they think, is because of the evolutionary processes. In fact, even James Watson, who tried to keep this toned down to some degree, but James Watson was one of the co-discoverers of the DNA helix model, and he got a Nobel Prize for that. James Watson even embraced Darwinian racism, claiming that the black Africans were not as highly evolved as the Europeans. So this idea still is circulating around, although it's been marginalized for the most part. But in Hitler's day, it actually was very mainstream. There were a lot of biologists and anthropologists during Hitler's time, and especially in Germany, who were embracing the idea that some races are more evolved than others, and therefore some human races are not as valuable as others.
Where does your book go in other ways about the ethics of Hitler?
Yeah, well, there's really a fascinating link here that I sort of mentioned just a little bit ago, that a lot of the scientists and social thinkers in the early 20th century had come to embrace the idea that morality was biologically determined. And by the way, that view has resurfaced in the late 20th and early 21st centuries with sociobiology and evolutionary psychology, which has become quite popular in some academic circles. But during that time, one of the things that happened was a lot of anti-Semitic thinkers by the early 20th century in Germany were peddling the idea that the Jews were biologically immoral. That is, when they looked at these different traits that were sort of caricatures of Jews, standard stereotypes, so the Jews greedy, lascivious, disloyal, deceitful, all these different negative stereotypes that anti-Semites had in relation to Jews, they claimed that those were biological characteristics. In other words, it's not something that you can just educate out of them or get them socialized so that they're different. It's biologically part of their character. And so Hitler actually had this twisted notion that the way we can biologically improve morality is by getting rid of those that are immoral. In other words, get rid of the Jews, and then we will become a more moral race, because he thought that the Germans were honest and thrifty and upright, and he had all these positive moral stereotypes of the Germans. And so he thought that by exterminating the Jews, he's actually making the world a more moral place.
Do you suppose, as someone looks at your book and sees what Hitler really believed ethically and morally and in a religious or non-religious and even evolutionary sense, and then they connect that to the results of his rule and reign and how horrific it was, do you think it would ultimately lead them toward the opposite, that is, creation and their creator?
Well, I hope it would get them to think about, and obviously, this historical question wouldn't prove one way or another which way you should go there. And then the basic approach that a lot of people would have who are anti-intelligent design or anti-creationist would be to simply dismiss this as just a perversion of Darwinism or perversion of evolution and such. In fact, if I'd used that word in my scholarship, they wouldn't have a problem with my scholarship. But I don't, because I think there is a certain kind of logic actually in this kind of thinking that the races are evolved at different levels, that really does fit into a kind of evolutionary kind of thinking. So what I would hope is that people would think about these issues and then ask the question then, well, is it really true or not? And then investigate it, because you're not going to settle it with a historical question, but there's been plenty of good material that's been done on intelligent design from the scientific standpoint by Steve Meyer and Paul Nelson and Bill Dembski and many others that has shown that intelligent design makes more sense of the biological data than does biological evolution. In fact, as I've given talks about this particular topic, one time I was giving a talk that included things about the way that Darwinism impacted the euthanasia movement and other things like that. And one person that heard me speak was talking to me after the talk, and he said, you know, now I kind of understand why there is importance to this. You know, before my talk, he thought, well, what does it matter? Who cares if people believe in biological evolution or not? You know, what difference does that make? But it does make a difference in how you think about human life. And that's an issue that I've raised in some of my other scholarship as well, especially my book, The Death of Humanity and the Case for Life, that the issue of Darwinism does affect the way that you think about humanity, think about the value of human life, think about a whole host of issues. And so we do need to examine it carefully and make sure that it's really true.
Absolutely fascinating. And I appreciate that you leaned the listener toward the Discovery Institute and your other book, which is very good as well. I really appreciate the time you've taken with me today, Dr. Weikert.
Yeah, thank you so very much for having me on.
We've been talking to Dr. Richard Weikert, author of Hitler's Religion, The Twisted Beliefs That Drove the Third Reich. I encourage you, the listener, to get a copy of this book, read the amazing facts for yourself. Until next time, this has been Todd Butterfield for ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.